Second Peter will give us some key to this understanding what has happened. We'll read Second Peter chapter 1 and from verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. In Philippians, what we have read and meditated upon, we saw Apostle Paul writing, I may win Christ, but before he does that, he says, I counted all things but loss. Not only he counted, you see, there's a past tense used, counted. And then again, next verse he says, I count. He's continuing to count all things as loss. Not only when we come to Christ, at the time we count the corruption, the things of this world as no value. But after onwards, we tend to backslide because we are going again back to counting those things, esteeming the pleasures of this world. But here in Philippians we read, not only he counted all things, but he's continues to count. So there is a believer's, brother said, is a normal Christian experience, Philippians 4. Is a bearing of fruits through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this fruit bearing is in the believer's life ought to be seen continuously. There's no point in the believer's life once we stop bearing fruits, we stop growing. We tend to backslide. So what we have seen is what we have in the apostle's life, not only counted, but he continued to count. So one thing was he said, I may win Christ, or I may gain Christ, and be found in him. And the next verse, he says, I may know him. It's not that he did not know him. It is not that he did not win Christ yet. It was not that he was not found in the righteousness of Christ. He was. But it's a way of argument to inspire, to encourage believers that we must continue this in the profession of faith, to stand fast, to be diligent, to make sure our calling, election. So when we do this, we do not fail. Same thing, Apostle John in his epistle says, in contrast to the love of the world, he says, he that doeth the will of God shall abideth forever. But whereas the world and its glory is passing. So this is what I am getting in this, what we have just read in the 2 Timothy, that when he said that I believe that assurance that Apostle Paul is showing here. the end of his prayers.
We can make a connection between what we had in the Philippians somewhat to where we are now in Timothy, in that Paul's personal growth with his relationship with the Lord. We can see, looking at Philippians 3:9, his desire now is not anything connected with what he knew before, his Pharisee education, but now it's to be found in him. And in contrast to not having his own righteousness, the righteousness as a Pharisee, a Jew, and also the law, he realizes the law was not his salvation. And as zealous as he might be for the law, this was not it. But that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, realizing that the faith is given by God. And then bringing it up to our second epistle of Timothy, now we see Paul's testimony in that, in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He suffered from his own, from the Jews, in his testimony in the synagogues and elsewhere, for Christ's sake. And now it's the reverse of what it was before. He was persecuted the church before. Now he's being persecuted. And nevertheless, he's not ashamed, because he's come to a real knowledge, knowing Christ. For I know whom I have believed. And persuaded and so forth. So he's solid with Christ. Nothing's going to move him. And he goes on to encourage Timothy in the same. Hold fast to the form of sound words. This is the truth that he's telling you. Hold on to these things and don't be moved.
One of the things that very encouraging when you read the last words of faithful men. If you read Genesis 49, the last words of Jacob, Deuteronomy 33 is the last words of Moses, Joshua 21, the last word of Joshua, and you want the Second Kings 2, the last words of David, and even you come here to Second Timothy, and it is the last words of Paul. Two things usually jump into your mind. One of them is instruction to the coming generation to remain faithful to the Lord. That usually comes in there. In every one of them, there is something about, you know, just go on and cleave to the Lord. But the thing that touches my heart all the time, their witness to the faithfulness of God. And every time you read that, men have gone through all of these experiences of their life. They come in the end, those who have walked with God, to bear witness to the faithfulness of God. That God is faithful. And here, the Apostle Paul come to this point, and when Brother Sam mentioned verse 12, that I know whom I have believed. This is the one who is so trusted in the Lord, not only because he kind of heard about him, now as a personal experience. And you said, this man knew that his head was going to be chopped off. He knew that. He said that in the end of the chapter. He knows that Nero is going to kind of get him because he is the chief of those Christian things. Let me blame them and get the big guy. And that's what Nero was going to. He knew that. But how wonderful in a circumstances like that. He said, I know. I'm not regretting anything. I know whom I have believed. He bare witness to the faithfulness of God because he knew him. And you always find that in those who have gone with the Lord in experience. And there is value for older brothers and sisters when they gone with the Lord. That gray hair did not come as a result of just being old. But through the experiences of life and the ups and downs and the mistakes and the trial and the tribulation and the cleaving to the Lord, you know, they get to know him in a way, in just a unique way that we as young, including myself here with the young, might not really get to that yet. It requires that. And that's why when John writes to the family, when he speaks to the fathers, he doesn't say different. Everything, I write unto you fathers, because you know him, who is from the beginning. Every time he addresses the father, he has no more to say. Because that one of the crown things in a Christian experience is to know him. And the Apostle Paul would say that I know whom I have believed. That very strong faith that is nothing could shake. Not only that I know him, you know what? And I'm persuaded. Nothing going to shake that he's able. I know Nero is going to cut my head, but I am persuaded that he's able to keep that. It's just a confidence in the God that we love and we live for and we adore, which will make me, as younger one, now say, it is worth it to live for him because he is faithful.